You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Between the shadows of reality and the fringe of our own fears lurks a world of monsters. Strange creatures and frightening phantoms who test the very boundaries of our science and superstition. It's a realm of mystery and legend, a place of fact and fear. This is Monstro Bizarro. May 18th, 2021, I was reading through posts on my neighborhood Next Door app when I came across a very unusual entry. A woman reported that her kids had seen a sinister clown near a park in our city. Not once, but twice. The first time was on April 29th, and the second time was 30 minutes prior to her posting. The woman said the person was wearing a curly red wig, a clown mask, a black shirt with yellow spots, and yellow pants with black spots. The kids said the clown was standing in a, quote, hunched over fashion, just looking at them from behind some trees at Meadow Park. Both incidents happened right at dusk. The kids apparently fled the park and immediately told their mother. The area where I live is an average neighborhood located in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex of North Texas. Other than lost pets, service recommendations, and occasional crime, which has been increasing in the last few years, nothing very dramatic happens around here. There's no cryptid sightings. Well, unless you want to count the woman who reported seeing a massive wild boar in her yard. And surely no clown sightings. But here it was, like an urban mystery in my own backyard. And this truly was close to my backyard. Meadow Park was within walking distance of my home at the time. The following day, I decided to do some investigation, so I headed over to the park and found the small patch of woods where the kids must have seen the clown. It was the only wooded area in the park, located on the backside beyond a large field. I wouldn't classify it as woods, really, but a corner of the park that has a good amount of trees. I walked across the field and followed a trail into the shaded area. It was odd, because this spot had such a different feel than the rest of the park. The park is large, with a baseball diamond, a dog run, paved bike paths, and lots of open space dotted with sporadic oak trees. But the back section seemed forgotten and dark, where nature grew unfettered. The trees were tall and thick, and leaves covered the ground. A faint dirt trail led through the middle, eventually stopping at a large fence. I noticed a small, dirty swing hanging from one of the trees. It looked like no one had played on it in a very long time. And there was some trash strewn about that seemed out of place since the rest of the park was so clean and nicely mowed. The trees eventually stopped on the backside of a neighborhood with wooden fences surrounding the homes. There was a small gap between two of the properties where I imagined a person, or clown, might gain access without being seen walking across the wide open area of the park. I didn't see a clown there, but the location seemed consistent with an area where someone might play a prank. After looking around, I returned home with the intention of returning at dusk to see if I could spot the clown myself. I figured this was probably the only clown sighting in my city, but I took some time to research just in case. I was really surprised to find that there had been a previous clown sighting in our city about 5 years earlier. The details had been posted by the police department. They stated that on Monday, October 3rd, 2016, their dispatch had received a call about a suspicious person wearing a clown mask who was looking over the caller's fence. Police were immediately dispatched to the location, but did not find the clown. In the notice, they acknowledged that there had been a number of clown sightings reported nationwide, but that this was the only report they had received. They concluded by saying that if anyone saw a suspicious person dressed in a clown outfit, to please call. So our city apparently had a history of clown sightings, and now I was hot on the case of a new one. Later that evening, myself and my daughter, who was only 8 years old at the time, but already experienced with camping, Bigfoot investigations, and swamp excursions, went to the park and staked out the area of the woods where the sighting had occurred. We sat watching from a fairly discreet vantage point as dusk came, drawing heavy shadows into the forgotten cluster of trees. We stayed there until it was completely dark, but unfortunately we did not see a clown, or anyone else for that matter. We repeated the investigation on the following night, this time walking around more conspicuously in case that might be better to prompt a visit by a clown, but this didn't result in a sighting either. Perhaps the clown had moved on to a neighboring city, or returned to the circus. Or, perhaps, he or she would strike again when we least expected it, maybe even looking over our own fence, which was so close to the park. Clown sightings might sound strange and perhaps even comical, but apparently it's no joke. This is a phenomenon that has been ongoing, reported across the country just as our police department had noted. Like a bizarre urban legend come to life, where the monster is not a beast, but a colorful, mysterious phantom who is tapped into the innate fear and suspicion often associated with clowns. The unknown hiding behind a wig and wild clothes. The boogeyman with a grease paint smile. Welcome to a new installment of Monstro Bizarro. I'm your host, Lyle Blackburn. On this episode, we shall enter the shady realms of the clown sighting phenomenon. It may sound strange, but there have been countless reports of seemingly sinister people dressed as clowns. Well, we can only assume they are people. But either way, unlike the comedic persona of a circus clown, these urban creeps elicit more fear than they do laughs. The phenomenon has been reported from Boston to Texas and various points in between all across America, making this into something far beyond a few pranksters trying to scare their neighbors. It's a bizarre wave of cases that are no doubt perfect for an examination right here in the shadowed big top of Monstro Bizarro. The clown sightings in my neighborhood could have simply been a prank aimed at scaring some kids, but the fact that it happened rekindled my interest in the general phenomenon of clown sightings. I recall first reading about it in Lauren Coleman's book, Mysterious America, published in 2001. The book details some of the famous sightings on record in a small chapter called The Phantom Clowns, a title that I borrowed here for the podcast. As a fan of horror movies such as It and All Hallows Eve, I've always been intrigued by the portrayal of clowns as villains. I'm not inherently scared of clowns myself, but I know plenty of people who are. There's just something about these twisted characters that spark an uneasy feeling, especially when they are seen outside of a circus setting. It's the bizarre outfits and painted faces that can quickly go from a smile to a hideous frown. We know there is a person behind the grease paint or mask, but the very fact that their identity is obscured in such a fashion can make the clown quite menacing. I'm sure everyone is familiar with clowns being used in horror movies and books. There's the most famous example, Pennywise from Stephen King's It, and the rising horror icon Art the Clown from All Hallows Eve and Terrifier franchises. Plus, many more movies such as Stitches, House of a Thousand Corpses, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and Circus of the Dead, directed by my fellow Texan Billy Pond. But apparently, sinister clowns don't just exist in the movies. They can be spotted in real life, at the edge of dusk, even in my own hometown. Of course, there's the infamous serial killer John Wayne Gacy, who dressed as a clown for fundraising events and parades. But the incidents we will explore here are the random sightings of clowns for whom we do not know their intentions, good or bad.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi, I'm calling to report a strange incident that happened near the Lawrence Elementary School. Two men were dressed as clowns and approaching children asking if they wanted some candy. I think they were trying to get them into a black van that they were driving. It had a broken headlight and no hubcaps. I don't know what's going on, but I thought you should know. These were like circus clowns, but really creepy looking.
The first wave of clown sightings in the United States took place in Boston, Massachusetts. On Tuesday, May 5th, 1981, police in the Boston suburb of Brookline received a chilling report that two men dressed as clowns had approached children near Lawrence Elementary School. The clowns, who were in a black van, tried to lure the children inside by offering them candy. According to the Boston Globe, the vehicle was described as an older model black van with ladders on the side, a broken front headlight, and no hubcaps. Brookline police called officials at the school district to warn them of the situation. Superintendent Robert Sperber sent a memo to all 10 elementary schools in the area, alerting administrators about what was going on. This was even more disturbing, because it was not the first such sighting. A week earlier, police had been notified of other incidents involving adults dressed as clowns who had been seen by school children. Investigative counselor Daniel O'Connell of the Boston Public School District had already issued a warning by memo to the district's elementary and middle school principals. The memo read, "It has been brought to the attention of the police department and the district office that adults dressed as clowns have been bothering children to and from schools. Please advise all students that they must stay away from strangers, especially ones dressed as clowns." Even though the creepy clowns at the Lawrence School were not apprehended, everyone hoped this would be the end of it. Unfortunately, it was not. On May 6th, Boston police received another wave of calls regarding clowns. In one case, the suspect was said to be dressed as a clown from the waist up. From the waist down, he was naked. According to the reports, the clown had been seen driving a black van near Franklin Park in the Roxbury section of Boston between 4 and 6 p.m. He was also sighted near the Mary F. Curley School in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood. Police responded, but could not locate the clown or the black van. On May 8th, sightings came in from even more neighborhoods, including East Boston, Charlestown, Cambridge, Canton, and Randolph. Police had resorted to stopping all vans fitting the description and anyone dressed as a clown. In some cases, they did spot clowns and pull them over, but these turned out to be services delivering birthday greetings and clownograms, and not the so-called sinister clowns. When the sighting suddenly stopped a few days later, police concluded that it must have been some kind of mass hysteria perpetuated by the minds of young children. Since the witnesses were all children, mostly 5 to 7 years old, and no adults had been able to confirm the incidents, they discounted them, and the situation seemed to resolve itself. Or did it? 50 miles south of Boston in Providence, Rhode Island, social workers who specialized in helping the city's youth began to hear of similar clown sightings. Again, since no one could verify the incidents, they were attributed to the news coverage of the Boston incidents having spilled over into the area. Perhaps the kids had been influenced by it. That may have been so, but it's harder to dismiss the incidents reported a short time later on May 22, 1981, in Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. That afternoon, police from both cities were on heavy patrol trying to locate a knife-wielding clown in a yellow van who had been reported at 6 different elementary schools. Unlike previous clown epidemics that were attributed to children's imaginations, this round included an adult witness. Earlier that day, a woman watched a yellow van approach her 2 daughters as they walked to the bus stop. The van pulled over, and whoever was inside spoke to the girls. Moments later, they ran screaming back to their mother as the van sped off. The woman told Kansas City Police Sergeant Jim Treese that a man dressed as a clown had pointed a knife at them and ordered them to get into the van. The dark-haired man was wearing a clown outfit and had a painted face with red polka dots. By noon, they had received more than a dozen calls reporting similar suspicious activities involving a clown and a yellow van. The calls kept coming as police desperately tried to locate the suspect. By Monday, police had fielded literally hundreds of calls prompted by various witnesses who claimed to have seen the bizarre clown. One of these came from a 6th grade student who was able to provide a detailed description. LaTanya Johnson stated that he was by the fence and ran down through the big yard when some of the other kids ran over there. He ran towards a yellow van. He was dressed in a black shirt with a devil on the front. He had 2 candy canes down each side of his pants. The pants were black too. I don't remember much about his face though. A trickle of sightings on the Kansas side of the river swelled into a flood after the menacing figure was dubbed Killer Clown in a memo distributed by a nun at Our Lady in St. Rose School. The memo stated, "There have been reports of a character called Killer Clown jumping out of bushes and threatening children with a knife. Please alert your children to be careful." Once again, police began stopping anyone who was dressed as a clown, but but were unable to apprehend the phantom-like suspect. Sergeant Treese said police stopped a happy birthday van driven by a clown in Overland Park, Kansas. It turned out he was a member of a catering service on its way from a children's party at a daycare center. He was shocked to learn that clowns may be up to no good. Eventually, the sightings died out and no one was identified or arrested. It seemed as though there had been a man dressed as a clown driving a yellow van, but like in other cases, the bizarre circus outcast vanished without a trace. A similar rash of sightings was reported in Omaha and Denver around the same time, begging the question, what the hell was going on? Was all of this mass hysteria? This was 1981, so any knowledge of the Boston, Providence, or Kansas City incidents would have had to spread by traditional news outlets or by phone, since the internet was years away. If it were mass hysteria, school children would have had to read the newspaper or hear it from their parents somehow, since the trend was not publicized on a national level. The whole thing was truly bizarre. And things would get even more bizarre as the clowns were apparently joined by other costumed freaks. In June 1981, children in the Hill District of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, said that two men dressed in clown suits driving in a van had bothered them. In the Garfield neighborhood, a person wearing a pink and white rabbit costume supposedly frightened some children and eluded capture by hopping from a blue van into a bar. A week later, the rabbit was seen yet again, this time in the Allegheny Cemetery. Gorillas were also seen with clowns, creating a nightmare for Pittsburgh police who were trying to verify the sightings and track down any such perpetrators. After a clown was spotted in Terrace Village, police launched a massive search with two canine patrols and a horde of kids who were supposedly carrying clubs. Despite their efforts, however, no costumed assailants were ever found. It was so bizarre, police questioned whether the sightings were actually real or just the products of wild imaginations. The witnesses, however, remained adamant that they had truly seen what they had reported.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The clown outbreak of 1981 eventually died down, with no clowns or persons impersonating clowns having ever been arrested. But that's not the only time an outbreak of clown sightings has occurred in the United States. Believe it or not, there have been many such frenzies since, involving even more major cities. Precisely a decade later, in October 1991, more than 40 children, along with a few of their parents, reported seeing a clown prowling in backyards and looking through windows in Erie, Pennsylvania. A strikingly similar report to the one posted by police in my own hometown in 2016, I might add. A short time later, an actual clown was arrested in Erie when a man dressed as a clown tried to rob a bank. However, he was eventually deemed a copycat and not the person who was allegedly prowling around homes. That same month, the Chicago police were flooded with reports that a person dressed as Homie D. Clown, a character from the television comedy show In Living Color, was trying to entice children into a van by offering them candy. Descriptions of the van varied from blue to white to red, but all the witnesses seemed to agree that the words "ha ha ha" were painted on the side of it. One of the Chicago elementary schools sent a letter home to parents warning them about the clowns, while others increased security patrols on campuses. Things got even scarier when adults in Elgin, 35 miles northwest of Chicago, reported seeing a clown abduct a girl. Reports came from Evanston and Joliet, but again, police came up empty-handed after investigating. The evil clown reports of 1991 somehow extended all the way to Galveston, Texas, located at the southern coast of my own state. In October of that year, police and local news outlets were flooded with calls after a girl reported that a clown had attempted to kidnap her. The clown was allegedly sighted around schools, which seems to be a theme in these cases. Once again, however, police never located the painted perp. In August of 1997, a clown was finally apprehended after children in South Brunswick, New Jersey, claimed to have seen him at least six times leaping from behind trees outside a local housing project while he laughed maniacally. Police eventually apprehended the man, who had been dressing as a clown. He was diagnosed as having a low mental capacity and sent for a psychiatric evaluation. The clown offered no explanation for his actions. A resident of Fishers, Indiana, managed to take a picture of a creepy clown who was seen lurking around various parts of the town in October 2014. The clown was holding a handful of balloons. Sergeant Tom Wegner of the Fishers Police Department, who launched an investigation into the matter, believed the person to be a copycat, trying to mimic other creepy clown incidents around the country. He told ABC News,
"We've had over the past week three calls of a suspicious person dressed in a creepy clown outfit. We believe it's just one individual dressing up as a clown and creeping people out."
An especially spooky wave of clown reports emanated from Greenville, South Carolina, in August of 2016. In this case, a clown was said to be trying to lure children into a patch of dark woods near an apartment complex. According to a report filed by the sheriff's office in Greenville County, they had responded to reports from several residents of the apartment complex who said that people in clown makeup had been terrorizing both children and adults. Several children said the clowns had offered them money to follow them into the woods where they supposedly lived in a house by a pond. A woman walking home late one night said she had seen a, quote, large figured clown waving at her from under a streetlight. Another woman said her son heard clanging chains and banging noises at his front door. Police responded by adding extra patrols around the apartments, while the property manager distributed flyers that cautioned children from walking in the woods alone at night. Residents became so fearful, they took matters into their own hands. Police were alerted when the residents fired shots at something they thought was lurking in the woods there. Investigators did search a house that was near a pond, but reportedly found no evidence of clown paraphernalia inside. The police continued to search for the clowns in the following weeks, but could not find them. Once again, the case went cold and the circus creeps, if there were any, remained at large. In most cases, the clown invasions hit a city for several weeks and then suddenly stop, never to start again. Chicago, however, had another round of sightings 17 years after the first wave. The first wave occurred in 1991, as I mentioned previously, with the second wave popping up in October 2008. Local news covered the chilling story.
Police are searching for a man apparently dressed as a clown who has been approaching children near the West Side Garfield Park neighborhood. The man is being sought by police for questioning and is considered a suspect in several attempted child abductions. The suspect was seen in the Garfield Park neighborhood and near Beadler Elementary School, 3151 West Walnut Street, and Polaris Charter Academy, 620 North Sawyer Avenue, according to a community alert from Harrison area detectives. The man, who wears a clown mask or white face paint with teardrops on the cheek, has approached children walking to and from school, police said. Witnesses told police he was seen driving a white or brown van with the windows broken out. According to a Harrison area Special Victims Unit detective, the sightings have not been concentrated to one specific area, and there have been multiple sightings of clowns across the city.
Chicago was the location yet again for a bizarre clown sighting in July 2014. And this time, the witness was able to get a video of the phantom clown on her cell phone. Julia Graham said she and her husband were driving by the historic Rose Hill Cemetery at 10 p.m. when they saw a person dressed in a clown suit running towards the main gate. Her husband initially snapped a photo of the clown as it scaled the 7-foot-tall gate at the Ravenswood Avenue entrance. A feat that would have been no easy task for anyone, especially somebody in a clown suit. But it would only get weirder. When Julia and her husband pulled their car closer to get a better look, the clown was not deterred. It just waved at the couple in a slow, deliberate manner as it stood there in the hazy halo of their headlights. Eventually, the clown turned around and disappeared into the darkness of the cemetery, leaving the Grahams with a very uneasy feeling. When police arrived at the scene, they could find no trace of the clown or any indication he had ever been there, such as vandalism or large footprints. The cemetery was clearly closed and locked for the night, which made it an offense of trespassing. Once again, the phantom clown escaped with no repercussions or any explanation. While it's difficult to explain these bizarre outbreaks, and most of the witnesses have been children, some of these weird clowns have been seen by adults, and in the case of Julia Graham, even captured on film and video to prove it. Authorities who have attempted to explain away the entire phenomenon by saying that it can be traced back to the infamous clown Pennywise from Stephen King's novel It would be wrong. The first wave of modern clown sightings dates back to 1981 in Boston. King's novel wasn't published until 1986. Likewise, for the scary clown featured in the Steven Spielberg movie Poltergeist. That movie didn't hit theaters until 1982. Clowns were certainly a part of cinema before those movies, but they did not have the impact or presence in horror as Pennywise does. So how can we explain these bizarre situations involving horrific clowns in real life? Hold the grease paint. That sound means it's time to answer some listener mail. I've got one here from Al Stoci. Al writes, in one of the podcasts, you mentioned reading books or other materials when you were getting into cryptozoology. I was wondering if there were any particular examples that stood out that you'd like to share. Thanks for the question, Al. My first exposure to cryptids that I can recall came from the book Strange But True by David Duncan, a title that certainly applies to the strange topic we're exploring in this episode. The book, first published in 1973 on the Scholastic Book Services imprint, featured a range of paranormal and sort of true crime stories and included sections on Bigfoot, Yeti, and Loch Ness Monster. It really captured my interest because I was already into monster movies and creepy stuff. But whereas movies were mostly fiction, this featured stories and creatures from real life. Monstrous creatures that were perhaps living in our modern-day woods or lakes. I probably read the book 10 times after I got it, devouring the rather brief chapters on the various cryptids and other topics. I had no idea how much history there already was regarding the Yeti, Loch Ness Monster, and even Bigfoot until I discovered other books during my youth. One of these was Sasquatch, the Apes Among Us by John Green. John Green's journalistic approach has had a huge influence on my own writing style in the field. Another cool book that influenced me was called Monsters of North America, was by Elwood D. Baumann. This book went into more detail regarding what would be some of my all-time favorite cryptid cases, including the Fouke Monster, the Lake Worth Monster, and Momo the Missouri Monster. It even includes a chapter about the legend of Boggy Creek, a movie that has influenced me far more than anything else. Discovering cryptids by way of books, sometimes well-read tomes from the library, was a fun way to learn about them at an early age. Finding some of these books was, in a way, like a cryptid hunt. They were not mainstream and often hard to find, making me appreciate those times when I did find one. Today, we have the internet where things can easily be found with a simple Google search. And there's so many more shows about cryptids on television, so it's far easier to find information and hear these stories than it was years ago. But in my opinion, perhaps it's not as fun as, you know, finding these books in the library and reading about these and no one else really knew anything about it, especially not your parents. Anyway, I still own a copy of Strange But True, and it has a special place in the small cryptid museum I have at my home. My love of writing cryptid and monster books can probably be traced back to this single publication. And hopefully there are some young folks out there who may have read one of my books and become equally enthralled by the possibility that strange things and monstrous creatures may yet exist in our world. If you sent a question for the podcast and I haven't gotten to it yet, I apologize. As a guy who writes books, participates in film projects, and produces my own podcast, the time to do all of these things is lacking. but hopefully I can get to everyone's questions eventually. So keep them coming. Even though clowns are supposed to entertain us, there is no question they can and do inspire fear, perhaps even more so than laughs. The fear of clowns is so pervasive, it has its own word, claustrophobia. Like claustrophobia or arachnophobia, claustrophobia is a legitimate emotional reaction to something that frightens us on a conscious and even subconscious level, especially in the case of children. Unlike the ubiquitous boogeyman or the monster under the bed, this monster has a very recognizable face, a garish, grease-paint jester that adults often invite to these children's birthday parties. In 2008, the University of Sheffield in Britain surveyed more than 250 children ages 4 to 16 to see if clown images would cheer them up in a hospital setting. Every one of the survey participants reported disliking clowns. Child psychologist Patricia Dorbar told the BBC at the time, "Very few children like clowns. They are unfamiliar and come from a different era. They don't look funny. They just look odd." And it's not just children. I have several friends, perhaps more than several, who dislike clowns. I can talk about lake monsters, monsters in the woods, or serial killers all day long, but if I mention clowns, they react with a big no. The question is, does the pervasive fear of clowns result in hallucinations or mass hysteria, which makes people think they see them when they do not? I tend to doubt that. Most people don't like snakes, but that doesn't mean they report snakes crawling around their homes when they are not physically there. It seems like something would have had to prompt these phantom clown sightings, even if that means only a portion of the original witnesses saw something tangible, which then, in turn, influenced subsequent witnesses to believe they saw a clown too. When dealing with sighting reports by young children, they aren't as reliable as those coming from adults. Yet every kid can't just be making up stuff out of thin air. I believe that somewhere in these evil clown frenzies, there lurk some truthful encounters with individuals who are either dressed as clowns or somehow resemble the clowns enough to be identified as such. And in the case of adult witnesses, and those instances where photos or videos have been captured, there can be no doubt that clowns occasionally lurk in our streets. In the clown sighting that occurred in my own neighborhood, I don't think it was made up by those children, and neither does the mother. There had to be a reason those kids reported seeing a clown in the woods, whether it was just a prank or something more sinister. Are these so-called phantom clowns really evil? That's hard to say. There are the reports of clowns with knives and clowns trying to do the unspeakable, such as lure little children into their vehicles. But there's no proof that these phantom clowns actually achieved any of their twisted goals. Sure, we have the case of the infamous serial killer John Wayne Gacy, who dressed as a clown in local city parades and such. But he was not dressing as a clown during his nightly prowls to kidnap young boys. In this case, it was the man behind the grease paint that was worse than the clown facade. There's been a proliferation of clown sightings ever since that seminal phantom wave of 1981. So many cases that I can't even cover them all in one episode of this podcast. And I doubt we have seen the last of these frenzies. Where there is good, there also tends to be evil. like a balance of light and dark. And clowns represent the ultimate yin-yang, with white, bright colors on the outside and potentially dark intentions on the inside. It's scarier when you can't see the true face of the person, like in so many horror movies that capitalize on the boogeyman behind the mask. Michael Myers from Halloween, Jason from Friday the 13th, the evil witch, ghost, and devil from Haunt. It's an effective trope which includes Pennywise and the recent creep Art the Clown from the Terrifier movies. Those are movies, though, right? Real-life clowns don't harm us, or do they? And they don't peer at us from the woods or over our fences or try to pull us into their vans. Wrong. There seems to be something going on out there that may be more terrifying than any movie. So if you ever see an odd man dressed in balloonish clothing, with a bright wig and a white grease paint face lurking in the shadows, you may be wise to keep walking. It might not be a circus he's looking for, if he is even human at all. In the world of Monstro Bizarro, clowns always have the last laugh. For more information about my books and other projects, be sure to visit lyleblackburn.com. Special thanks to my friend and colleague, Lauren Coleman, for coming up with the term Phantom Clowns. Be sure to visit his International Cryptozoology Museum with two locations, Portland, Maine and Bangor, Maine.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.